ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Israel announcing they would do more to protect civilians and aid workers, including increasing food and supplies to Palestinians sheltering in the north of Gaza. The announcement after a conversation between President Biden and Israel's Prime Minister Netanyahu. White House National Security Communications Advisor John Kirby with what the administration would like to see.
We want to see those hostages home. We want to see that aid increased. And the way to do that is through an immediate ceasefire, a temporary ceasefire for a matter of weeks.
The Israeli military today dismissing two officers, reprimanding three others for their roles in the drone strike in Gaza that killed seven food aid workers. President Biden visiting Baltimore today to get a firsthand look at recovery efforts at the scene of the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse. The Labor Department's latest employment report just released, 303,000 jobs were added in March. That is more than the 200,000 jobs that economists were predicting. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. In-state tuition at the universities of Wisconsin will go up 3.75% next school year. The Board of Regents passed the hike unanimously yesterday. Tuition will go up anywhere from $255 to almost $400, depending on which campus. It's the second straight year of tuition hikes after a 10-year freeze. Fees are going up, too. April is Autism Month. The CDC says one in every 36 American kids is on the spectrum. Katie Hess is with the Autism Society of Greater Wisconsin. She's urging people to be accepting and inclusive.
Really what we're looking for is for people just to be open-minded and patient and understanding.
The Autism Society in Wisconsin is training businesses on how to better serve employees and clients with autism. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For 1490 The Eagle, WLCX in La Crosse, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The Trempealeau County Sheriff's Office said a man died Wednesday night after falling down an embankment. According to a release, the man got out of his vehicle after it got stuck in his driveway, but slipped and fell down in the snow. He ended up sliding down into a culvert and got stuck in the water. First responders arrived and took him to a hospital, where he was pronounced dead. The sheriff's office said no foul play is expected and called the death accidental. Democratic State Senator Brad Paff announced his re-election bid for the state's 32nd Senate District on Thursday. Paff, who has been in office since 2011, represents all of La Crosse and Vernon counties, as well as parts of Monroe and Trempealeau counties. The previous map included Crawford County, which now goes to District 17. Paff ran for Congress in 2022, losing to Republican Derek Van Orden. Nobody else has announced a bid for the state Senate's 32nd district seat. The National Weather Service says we'll have sunny skies and temperatures in the 50s the next couple of days. Rain chances return on Sunday. For WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Bucks face the Raptors. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks host the Toronto Raptors tonight. The Bucks with back-to-back losses to the Wizards and Grizzlies. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Both games we had a lot of open threes, a lot of good looks. Did not fall, did not go our way, but just keep on improving our spacing, keep on improving our flow of our offense, keep on guarding better, and just got to keep on building good habits. That's pretty much it.
NFL former Packers offensive line coach Larry Bechtol has died. He served under head coach Mike Sherman and coached players like tackles Mark Tauscher and Chad Clifton. Coach Bechtol was 81. Baseball, the Brewers host the Mariners tonight. Second baseman Bryce Terang on how the crew is doing defensively so far.
Yeah, it's been great. You know, these guys work extremely hard. Some guys are learning positions that they haven't played very much. So to see our defense perform the way it is just showing you how much work we're putting into it and off the field and stuff like that too. So
that's the Brewers' Bryce Terang with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Partly cloudy today, becoming mostly sunny by late this afternoon. A little warmer today with a high of 51 this afternoon. The wind north to northeast at 5 to 10. Tonight, clear 28. Tomorrow, sunshine 55. It will get windy with some rain late tomorrow night, with rain likely on Sunday into Monday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Tune in Friday for a very special Devil's Advocates Radio show. Pat Kreitlow joins the show. We air the grievances and we give you the details of Joe Biden's visit to Madison.
This is the talk you can't ignore,
even if you tried.
Why is everyone ignoring me?
Find out why all of lacrosse is talking about Eagle 1490.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Thank God it's Friday. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. You know, I survived the dentist yesterday, and like you said, it's Friday, so we're doing good.
I had a bout with the dentist myself this week.
Well, you know what I told Calvin? Oh, by the way, by now you know who that guy is. That's my co-host, Sandy Williams. He's here every Tuesday and Friday, if you don't know it by now. You know, Sandy, I told Calvin, I said, you know, you should be thankful that you're going to get to the dentist to get something done, because it means you still have yours.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, what's the alternative?
Yeah. But, you know, the dentist... It's interesting. It's a mixed blessing. Nobody, dentists are, and I think everyone likes their dentist too, but it's, that's a surprise.
Can you imagine, Sandy, what it was in the early years of dentistry if you had to go to the dentist?
Yeah. I go back to the time when my dentist had a foot pedal that he would step on to make the drill spin.
Yeah. So, wow, that must have been, it wasn't high speed enough.
No, actually, it was better. You know, the fact is, it's the speed makes the tooth get hot, and it's the heat that hurts that makes the nerve.
Oh, really?
So the slower speed was probably more tedious for the dentist, more difficult, but less painful.
You know, it makes me think back to George Washington's dentures.
Yeah, wooden tooth George.
Can you imagine? You know, what people went through. I mean, just, you know, I mean, the fact that the stuff that they used to numb you up, I'm pretty sure they probably didn't have the science right.
Numb you up.
Yeah.
I like that expression.
Well, to numb the nerves.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? And they had probably no way of checking the early dentistry.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you know, the fact is that anesthesia is probably only about 140 years old.
Is that all?
Yeah. I mean, in the Civil War, I don't think they had anesthesia then. So I don't know what they were doing when they were solving.
You know what they were doing? Take a shot of this.
Yeah. And bite on this stick. Yeah.
Well, hey, like I watch the old cowboy movies. Hey, he's got a bullet in there. We got to remove it. Hey, give him a slug of that. Pour that down his throat.
Yeah.
You know, liquor. And I guess that would numb the nerves some, I guess.
I guess.
Yeah. But anyway, it's Friday. Sandy, when I came in this morning, the sun was shining. What happened to it?
Well, you know, I don't know what the forecast is, but we're still going to have some more wet weather. I do know that in a week, we're going to have something like 70, plus degrees. So maybe spring is around the corner. And maybe, and this is spring. This is spring showers, right? It's just that it's kind of gone overboard. It's like, hey, enough is enough
here. Well, you know, I talked to some friends in Madison. It's 7 inches of snow on the ground.
Yeah, the west and north of Wisconsin got, you know, we were lucky, I guess, to get lots of rain.
Yeah.
Because they got lots of snow.
Well, you know, Sandy, this time of year, you know, you normally get the runoff. And so, you know, we didn't get a lot of snow. So this rain that we've gotten, certainly going to help the growth of the plants and everything else, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it is. I was going to try and check and see, but I would guess that we've now reached the average rainfall for April, early in April.
Oh, so, no question.
And you know, you're right. There wasn't much runoff. And as a result, we didn't get ice dams in the river. However, the rain was so extreme in the last days that the river has flooded. And since I live on the river, I watch that with great anticipation. And it's flooded my yard, lower yard. So, you know, this is good for us. I'm confident this is a normal spring, but, you know, enough's enough.
Well, you know, I was woken earlier than normal this morning by the birds. The birds are out singing.
Ah, lots of birds, and the ducks have gone through. This is spring. Spring has sprung. It just needs to spring, needs to spring itself a little more.
Well, you know, and all I could think about was, okay, so the birds are singing. I think it was 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, and I'm listening. I'm like, okay, so the ground is soft. So that means the worms probably are up, and, you know, it's spring is a little bit ahead. Of what it normally, we're only in, what, it's the 5th of April.
Yeah, we haven't paid our taxes yet.
Yeah, well, some of us.
Mm.
Anyway, Sandy, a lot to talk about, as always. You know, I guess I wanted to begin, Sandy, with Florida bans abortion. Now, you know, you and I haven't talked a lot about abortion, Sandy. But Republicans have really paid a price since the overturning of Roe versus Wade, and Donald Trump is running around saying, hey, I'm the guy who, you watch him in the commercials.
Yeah.
Hey, you can thank me. I'm the guy who, you know, did away with Roe versus Wade. And he's continuing to brag doing. Is he?
Well, like I predicted, I mean, the polls have demonstrated since that Dodd case that the dog caught the bus, and it wasn't a good thing politically. And I think the Republicans who are savvy are trying to find a way to back off from this absolutism about abortion. And unfortunately, I think the hard right, the hard Christian right, is adamant about, like, not only banning abortion, but then reaching over into birth control and trying to do some restriction, apply some restrictions there. And to me, this is all more dog catches bus. And it's not going to be good for the Republicans. It's not going to be good in Florida for them if there's an absolute ban. The word abortion is such a black and white word, but a woman's need to make decisions about childbirth range a whole range of things, and including a victim of rape or incest not wanting to bear the fruits of that and have to bear that child, but also fetal abnormalities, things that we now are, you know, we almost immediately began to find out in the press about women who had very troublesome circumstances, things that were life-risking to them, riskful to them about their ability to have future children. You know, these are hard decisions to be made, and for there to be absolute bans is just preposterous. And for there to be a great deal of legal restriction on a woman's capacity to make these tough decisions is just wrong. And I think the more that there is success on the part of those who want to ban the possibility of abortion, the more likely it is that there will be laws passed to make sure that women are protected.
You know, Sandy, there are those who will say, well, you're talking about protecting the woman. What about the child? This is the perspective that you're hearing from the other side of this, Sandy. It's just like, you know, the debate about in vitro fertilization. Well, that's a child. You got to protect. I mean, they're really kind of off the deep cliff, Sandy, with this. And they don't, maybe they don't realize that they're damaging women. See this from a different perspective than most men.
Well, I mean, that fetus from the point of conception on is a part of the woman. It's connected to the woman umbilically, right? And,
yes.
And in many ways. And the woman's body is sacrificing itself on behalf of that conceived child from the moment of conception. And I just think that it's wrong for the government to be involved in the decisions that need to be made early in a pregnancy about the pregnancy, particularly in light of all the different kinds of circumstances that can relate to the child.
You know, Sandy, we're men. And a lot of times when men get involved in this conversation, part of the problem is men are making these decisions.
Well, I can
enforcing it on women.
Yeah,
844-967-2789. Love to hear some of you women in the audience.
You know,
your
perspective. My sense of Florida is that the demographics of Florida involved a great deal of people, men and women, who are beyond the age of childbirth, right? So that they can, it isn't even affecting them. And I think that's the problem with a lot of the decisions here. That a lot of these decisions are being made by men who are not directly affected by this kind of restriction, and by people who are no longer in a position where it could affect them. And I think it's just wrong altogether. And I do think that women have reacted actively and have become much more actively involved in the political process on this issue. And it seems to have been happening in all kinds of states, Kentucky and other states as well.
So, Sandy, when you bring religion into it as well, right? Because at the root of it, as you stated, you know, there are evangelicals and others who don't believe in abortion, period. And they can tell you the Bible says.
Well, I mean, there are religions, obviously, that don't believe in birth control.
Right.
But is that something that ought to be, by fiat, by government fiat, a restriction imposed on all? So the children, whether they're wanted or not, will be had as the result of the behaviors of adults. I mean, it's just an unrealistic process. And will these people step up to the bar once the child is born?
Right.
You know, that's the thing.
Well, we know the answer to that is no. In most instances, the very people who want to make sure that they go through with the childbirth aren't there. And you can't, on the one hand, Sandy, talk about the safety net and that the government offers and say, no handouts.
Well, I mean, the reaction of the people who want to make sure that there can't be abortions will be that it's the family's fault that the child is now not being taken care of. Well, maybe that fractured family was one of the reasons why the abortion was being pursued. Because there was a knowledge that this child was going to be born into an unwanted circumstance.
All right, 844-967-2789. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. You can join the conversation. Tuned in to the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
A fourth-generation family-owned business is running strong thanks in part to Wisconsin cheese. Dufek Wood Products calls Denmark home and has been based in Northeast Wisconsin for close to 120 years. It's best known for manufacturing boxes, which are food-safe to age and ship wheels of cheese and can be reused. But another Dufek Wood product is getting attention thanks to the Guinness Book of World Records. Do you think it's the family's wine boxes, organic garden mulch, or charcuterie boards? The answer coming up. Winter logging for summer building supplies is how the Dufix started. Manufacturing shifted by 1912 to other wood products, especially those cheese boxes. So did you guess which wood product is getting attention from the Guinness Book of World Records? It's the Dufix charcuterie boards, with one recently named the largest ever, holding more than 760 pounds of gourmet cheese. That's one huge slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Eagle 1490 AM.
No one likes us. I don't know why. We may not be perfect, but heaven knows we try. But all around, even our old friends put us down. Let's drop the big one and see what happens. We give them money, but are they grateful? No, they're spiteful and they're hateful. They don't respect us, so let's surprise them. We'll drop the big one and pulverize it. Asia's crowded, Europe's too old, Africa's far too hot.
So Randy Newman,
yeah,
one of my favorite guys, actually, is when he writes songs like this.
Satire.
Short people, satires, irony, you know, and he's made all his money really doing the music for the big movies of Vivitar
and Avatar
and all these movies that are, and Shrek, is that the
yeah,
name?
Yeah, Shrek.
So, you know, he's a very talented guy, but I picked the music today, or Earl let me do that. I picked that one because it's really about our generation, the generation that used to hide behind, under the desks as the result of civil defense warnings and the fear of nuclear bombs. And that's the way we thought, you know, drop the big one. You know, if they're going to do it to us, we'll do it to them. Let's get it over with.
Let's get it over with. In broadest terms, that was kind of what it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I just think that it affected all of us, and it affected our capacity to think about foreign affairs, and to get our minds around what the position of America ought to be in the world. It was a very strange time.
So, Sandy, we're going to get into that in more depth as we move further into the show this morning. We're talking about, again, a decision. Florida has banned legal abortion in Florida. And, you know, the state Supreme Court's ruling Monday to uphold the current 15-week ban and allow a 6-week ban to take effect May 1st will effectively shut off abortion access in the South, even though the federal government has said something completely, the Supreme United States Supreme Court is not in agreement.
I think they haven't really spoken to it. I think what the Dodd case is left open to the states, the right to regulate this process. And then the question is what regulations will be okay and what won't. And that's what the states are now testing. I think this won't get approved by the Supreme Court. I think it's, 6 weeks is like before a woman even is
no,
suspicious
right.
that she's pregnant, right? She's maybe developing a suspicion and may probably not. It's just unseemly.
So let me ask you, because you're the guy who is a big rights, people's rights in this nation. You are a real supporter of people having the right to do things and make decisions that impact their lives and not having the government do this. So your real pushback on this kind of thing is government has nothing, they should not be involved in this whatsoever.
No, I mean, absolutely not. This is like the midwives, that TV show. I mean, this is like the government getting involved in a manner that's, just really out of bounds. And it's, you know, we worry about authoritarian governments requiring people to do things. Well, requiring a woman to bear a child, regardless of the circumstances surrounding the pregnancy or the circumstances within the pregnancy, is like as totalitarian as you can be.
All right, let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning. First, I thought that was Earl singing on the that song there.
Come on, man.
Sounded just like your voice, Earl.
All right.
That Randy guy. Second, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. Choices like this should not be left up to we the people or a bunch of representatives. The one thing that always gets missed, I grew up in a time where we would wear the 6-week fetus thing on our jacket from Catholic school and all that kind of stuff, all the dogma that went along with it. But the thing is, this issue is not either pro-abortion or not, you know, or anti-abortion. This issue is about a woman's right to choose. And just because a woman has the right to choose doesn't necessarily mean she's going to choose termination. The issue should be framed the way it actually is. It's either a woman's right to choose versus government's right to choose. And for all of you people out there that don't like government getting involved in people's lives, you should be like totally against this thing because of the fact that a woman should be able to choose to have a child, which she does every single day, or not to have a child and terminate a pregnancy. But we always put the emphasis on terminating the child rather than on the fact that a woman chooses 90% of the time actually to have a child, a woman and her spouse or the person that she's having the child with. So you're going to start seeing, because I remember Scott Walker doing this. He had a commercial right towards the end of the recall thing, which was like, oh, no, this choice should be between a woman, her doctor, and her God or something like that. Well, then that's not woman's right to choose versus government's right to choose people like Scott Walker. The whole point is that's what this issue is, and they're trying to make women into cattle. They're trying to make women into second-class citizens. And it's a government's right to choose or a woman's right to choose.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much, as always. You know, Sandy, there were 84,000 abortions performed in Florida last year, including thousands for women who needed to travel from out of state, according to state data. Come May 1st, almost all of those women will need to find somewhere else to go. That really is unconscionable. Well, because somebody has made a determination themselves.
Well, and so, you know, some people don't have the wherewithal to travel. So now we're restricting choice based on not only the kind of legal restrictions that we're talking about in Florida, but also income, right? So
yeah.
So if it's available there but not here, the question is, can you get there?
So I don't know, but an abortion costs money, right?
Oh, sure.
Okay, so if you don't have...
Well, traveling costs money. I mean,
right.
It might be that there are places that will provide abortions based on a pro bono basis, based on need, but and that might be the case, but you still have to get there.
Right.
And so that's a restriction in and of itself.
All right, 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about, Sandy, you know, what you began talking about after the Randy Newman song. And that is about...
Well, just the baby boomers and how we grew up during the Cold War and the duck and cover kind of concept that had us all getting a view of the United States position in world affairs that was probably quite bent.
All right, on the Earl Ingram Show. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. We'll be right back.
In every city, the whole world round, will just be another American town. Oh, how peaceful it will be. We'll set everybody free. You wear Japanese kimono, baby, be Italian.
Friday on Matt Nair on Air, 10:33, we recombobulate with Dan Schaefer. Then we talk the Milwaukee Film Festival with Matt Miller. Join us.
You can always continue the conversation on social media.
Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin public schools are now required by law to teach Hmong and Asian American history. Governor Evers signed the bipartisan bill into law yesterday. Black, Hispanic, and Native American histories are already required learning in Wisconsin. Evers is also declaring April as Hmong Heritage Month. Tax day is coming up. Some people spend 9 hours and $150 doing their taxes. Now the IRS is trying out a free tax filing service in some states. Adam Rubin is a consumer advocate with the nonprofit Economic Security Project.
It's an interview-based questionnaire that asks people questions in pretty much plain language, and you fill in the answers, and it fills in the tax form for you.
Wisconsin is not one of the 12 states in the pilot program this year. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For 1490 The Eagle, WLCX in La Crosse, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Democratic State Senator Brad Paff announced his re-election bid for the state's 32nd district seat on Thursday. Paff, who has been in office since 2011, represents all of La Crosse and Vernon counties, as well as parts of Monroe and Trupelo counties. The previous map included Crawford County, which now goes to District 17. Paff ran for Congress in 2022, losing to Republican Derek Van Orden. Nobody else has announced a bid for the 32nd district seat in the state Senate. The UW Board of Regents met yesterday in Platteville and approved a 3.75% raise in tuition next year. When fee increases are factored in, the average increase per UW campus will be about 4.4%. UW La Crosse's increase is right at the average of 4.4%. UWL has had declining enrollment the past 5 years. This is the second straight year tuition has increased after a decade of tuition freezes. Last year, the average tuition went up by about 5%. For 1490 The Eagle WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Todd Alba Show.
Former state senator and majority leader in the state Senate, Dale Schultz.
Legislators aren't doing their job. But what I would ask all the listeners is, have you taken stock in your legislator? Do they really deserve to be there? Do they really want to be there in a polite way? Ask them to come and share a vision, listen to you, and say we want regular communication. And I think if we do that, the system will serve us very well.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Ellen DeGeneres is launching a stand-up comedy tour, her first since 2018. The Ellen DeGeneres Show aired for the last time in 2022, not long after DeGeneres came under fire for mistreating staff. The 66-year-old comedian will start with four West Coast cities with more TBA. If you don't feel like braving the crowds, check out her stand-up specials on Netflix and HBO. If you attend this year's Wisconsin Film Festival, one of the can't-miss attractions will be an appearance by Oscar-winning director Alexander Payne on closing night. Payne's most recent effort, The Holdovers, was nominated for Best Picture at this year's Oscars. Payne will be at the 20th anniversary screening of his film Sideways and take part in a discussion afterwards. Sideways will be the last film screened at this year's festival at the Barrymore Theater on April 11th. A can't-miss for film fans. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Partly cloudy today, becoming mostly sunny by late this afternoon. A little warmer today with a high of 51 this afternoon. The wind north to northeast at 5 to 10. Tonight, clear 28. Tomorrow, sunshine 55. It will get windy with some rain late tomorrow night, with rain likely on Sunday into Monday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
Busted Pencils. Fully leaded education talk.
And I can just now hear somebody going, it sounds like you guys are supporting public schools. They indoctrinate people. You know what? If they indoctrinate people towards democratic ideals, well, then I guess I'm an indoctrinator. You know, if you're not defending democracy, again, I'm concerned about what you really do support.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Talk about La Crosse and Wisconsin
without the yelling and screaming.
These are real conversations about things that affect you. This is Eagle 1490.
When you attend a funeral, it is sad to think that sooner or
Later, those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go.
So this guy, Lehrer, was a, at least on the East Coast, was a during the 60s, during the Cold War, was a satirist, wrote these kind of stuff, but bitter, and about our involvement in the Cold War and the way we were all bred to believe that we were doomed.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And, yeah, we were all doomed. You know, I remember as a young boy, you know, when John F. Kennedy got assassinated. I'm in, I think, the fifth grade. And we were told that the Russians did it. And so we were terrified that nuclear holocaust was going to happen. We didn't know who had assassinated President John F. Kennedy. But when you're young like that and your teachers and others, and yeah, we thought we were headed for nuclear annihilation. And that we were going to destroy Russia because they killed the president of the United States.
Well, you know, we were having regular movies in school, 16-millimeter movies with that little sprocket camera, you know, and photos of the H-bomb going off, the countdown, and then they would discuss the epicenter and what was going to happen within 1 mile of the epicenter and 4 miles of the epicenter, and it was all basically either you'd get you'd be vaporized or otherwise eliminated for many miles from the epicenter. And that this thing was maybe going to happen. And we, you know, when you drove around Milwaukee, at least there were Nike missile bases all around the city, including where Summerfest now is.
Right.
And those were all there to catch those bombers and missiles, hopefully in time before they dropped their payload. And so, you know, this was in our mind all the time. And it was, you know, in retrospect, what we found out when we've looked at all of the records of the Soviet Union, they had the same paranoid view of what we might do to them, but neither one of us was planning on attacking the other, okay? We had some discussion periodically. We talk about whether a preemptive strike was what needed to happen. You know, let's get it over with. But the fact is that the Cold War was really a mutual paranoia, both sides fearing something that might happen that was not actually being thought about by the other side.
You know, Sandy, we've got an audience from, you know, a different age demographics and different times, different generations, and they're not aware of that fear. And so it's kind of led, Sandy, to us accepting, you know, 400 military installation bases all over the country.
Well, you know,
all over the world.
Well, the interesting thing is that our generation, the people who lived through this, the baby boomers, have reacted to it in different ways. But after Vietnam and all the things that we all went through together, I think that many people decided that they didn't like government as it was, that government had participated in all of these things. And some people have reacted by wanting to get rid of government, the Grover Norquist strangle government, Milton Friedman, the economist whose view was, let's shrink government down to its bare minimum because it's a problem. There are those who went out into the wild to live off the grid, just to get out into a safer seeming place that was unaffected by all this. There are others who decided what we want to do is change government, make it right. Okay, and those are the movements today, I think, that we're watching. So I happen to think that our current political movement is, in some respects, an echo from these past days.
So let me ask
you. And so is our foreign policy, incidentally.
So let me ask you then, Sandy, because you can't, we as the United States were afraid of nuclear weapons and us being hit by nuclear weapons, right? We grew up with that fear. Yet we were the only ones who ever used nuclear weapons.
Yeah, we were the only ones who used them, you know. But we took comfort from the fact that we had so many of them, that hopefully a country like Russia, which actually now has more than we do, but that a country—
But not as updated as ours, but
probably not. And they've never used them.
Right.
But we would be in a position that both sides knew that it was going to be mutual annihilation, and therefore it wasn't going to happen. And we all took comfort from that. It's kind of a weird thing to take comfort from, you know, the fact that the world will come to an end if somebody does something stupid, so hopefully they won't do something stupid.
Well, Sandy, that's what the SALT treaties were about. They're people who realize at that point in time, both in Russia and our American government, let's put some things in place.
Well, there was a hotline phone from the White House to the Kremlin so that there could be a telephone call to try and confirm whether or not an attack was actually happening.
But those SALT treaties served their purpose, right? So for decades, the SALT treaties worked. Somewhere along the line, I don't know who was the president when the SALT treaties, was it Donald Trump? That the SALT treaties somehow
began to expire,
yes,
and not be renewed. We've come to back off from this notion, and we've sort of reignited the Cold War that went to sleep is waking up. Okay. And we're back into getting into a Cold War framework, and we ought to remember how crazy that Cold War was. The Cold War that really was built out of paranoia, that framed our lives in so many ways and had a great deal to do with the military-industrial complex, the thing that Eisenhower in 1959 warned us about.
Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. Your thoughts? You know, Sandy, we've already opened Pandora's box. We have vilified China. We've made it clear to them that, you know, they're our enemy. And so that door is open now. And in Russia, there have been some things that we've kind of said and offensively.
We've clearly in so many ways designated now to Russia the fact that they are our enemy. So I've said over the years, if you say someone's your enemy, you've become their enemy as well, because that's the way the world works. I think in China, we're trying to have it both ways. We want to talk militantly about them. Janet Yellen is over there right now trying to smooth feathers and trying to make sure that, because as she says, there's no way we can sever our relationship from China. We are intertwined in so many ways economically that it would be an economic disaster. And we are intertwined in the rest of the world in all of those many ways.
Let's go to Mike from Muscadet. Where is Muscadet? Mike?
Are you?
Where's Muscadet?
Hello?
Yes, good morning. Go ahead.
Muscadet is near Richland Center.
Near Richland.
Oh, okay.
Richland Center, Bosqueville area.
Yeah, well, thank you for listening. Thank you for the call. You say what, sir?
Well, my concern is about, you were talking the government should stay out of women's rights with abortion, but they all should stay out of trying to cram these electric vehicles down our throat. That's one thing that's not going to work, and it's going to just upset a lot of people because they don't work. The cart is before the horse that the Biden administration has done to us.
Let me ask you, nobody's forcing anybody to buy electric vehicles, are they?
Well, they're saying there's going to be restrictions where in California you won't be able to buy one after 2030.
A gasoline vehicle?
Right, an ICE vehicle.
Have you ever ridden in an electric vehicle?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, and why do you say they don't work? Because actually, I think the people who have them are extremely satisfied with them. I've got a large number of friends who have them, who bought them because they were enthused about them. and have found that they work fantastically well. Plus the fact China is rapidly building up the electric vehicle market. And in some countries, electric vehicles are selling faster than gasoline vehicles based solely on the marketplace choices. So I'm having trouble understanding why this notion of electric vehicles is being politicized quite the way it is, because if we don't produce electric vehicles and the rest of the world does, and the rest of the world actually likes electric vehicles, do you know how fast you can go from 0 to 60 in an electric vehicle?
Do you know how fast they decharge when it's 0 degrees out too and you're going through the mountains?
Well, you know, the charging rate is gone way up based on technology, and the batteries are modifying. I'm just saying that the marketplace out there is making choices about automobiles. And, you know, I saw that somebody politically wanted to say, well, Tesla's electric vehicle production was down this past year, and ergo, that's proof of failure. The reason that the total electric vehicle sales in the United States was up rather dramatically.
So
it was just that Tesla was losing market share.
So, Mike, let me ask you, there's a reason that they're producing electric vehicles. Do you not agree with the reason that the combustible engine is, and the damage, you don't believe that it's causing the damage that it's causing, and that's the reason that they, you know?
Well, let me say this, though, because that is politically what people say, but electric vehicles are being produced because people want to buy them, okay? Early on, they were a novelty, but now people are actually buying them. And the question of whether there are charging stations sufficiently located around to make it convenient is a problem that's being solved by the marketplace as more charging stations are built. Just as it wouldn't be much fun to drive a gasoline vehicle if gasoline stations were 40 miles between one another, you know, that would be a problem. So, you know, I think we're in a period of transition. And some people definitely hated automobiles and preferred horse-drawn carriages at the early time. There was lots of movement about how bad it was for everyone to have combustion engines, not because of the exhaust, but because of the danger associated with the technology.
Mike,
I'm just surprised that people think that the electric vehicles aren't the result of market demand.
Mike,
why has Hertz sold their whole fleet then? Nobody wants to rent them.
Well,
why has Ford cut production of the F-150? Why are they sitting on lots for 18 months?
Because there are people who continue to beat the drum that you are beating, Mike. I hear it on conservative shows all the time.
Well,
television, radio.
Well, look, the marketplace will solve for that. Why do we worry if? If the marketplace isn't going to digest and accept electric vehicles, then they won't happen. And it's a question of choice. So if people are not buying as many F-150 electric vehicles as Ford thought they were, and they therefore are building up an inventory, okay. You know, Edsel didn't work either. You remember Edsel's?
Yeah, Mike?
If you live in the city, they're fine. You know, Europe is a smaller area where the towns are closer together. They don't drive the distances that we do. But it's just common sense. If you want one, okay. If it's in a real urban area, but if you're real rural and you live in western Montana or even in western Wisconsin, they don't work.
Yeah, you don't have to buy it, Mike.
I won't buy one. I'll buy a hybrid, but okay. I won't buy an electric
vehicle.
There
you go. I mean, but I think the market's going to be smart. And I don't know whether California will go through with a ban. And, you know, there's been plenty of forward-looking restrictions that were established that were relaxed when the marketplace didn't coincide.
Hey, Mike, thank you very much for listening, man. Thank you very much for the call. Tell somebody about us, 844-967-2789. It's Friday. That means Friday is with my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
When the air becomes Uranus, we will all go simultaneous. Yes, we all will go together when we all go together. Yes, we all will go together when...
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Progressive presents advice on new teen drivers. You know, the hardest part about teaching your teen to drive is the chafing from the seatbelt. But the best part is the grip strength you build in your knuckles. Okay, now let's pull out of the driveway.
Here's another tip. Offset a chunk of the cost of adding a teen to your insurance with Progressive's Teen Driver Discount and get a break from the break. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states or situations.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM WLCX, and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
That's great. It starts with an earthquake, birds and snakes and airplane. Lenny Bruce is not afraid. I have a hurricane. Listen to yourself. Churn world serves its own needs. Dummy, serve your own needs. Beat it up and not speak. Grunt, no strength. The ladder starts to clatter with.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Sandy picked the music today. And Sandy, all of the music is to send a message to those who may not know the threats that you and I and our fellow baby boomers grew up with.
Yeah, and this one is more like all the threats that are constantly in the news, the disasters. You know, the world is basically coming to an end in all sorts of ways. Yeah. And, and I think that it's interesting when you go back and look at music, how much of the music was reflective of either the doom side of it or the idea that we wanted to make it all better.
Well, there's no question that during those days, everything had a message to it. It wasn't the melody. It was sending a message to our nation, to the world. You know, give what John Lennon say, give peace a chance.
Yeah.
You know, and it was all earmarked and focused on those kinds of things because, again, nothing was more important at that point in time than whether or not we were going to survive, whether or not somebody's going to push the button. And so it has shaped who we are. But I ask you, Sandy, it shaped who the baby boomers were. And, you know, the baby boomers, for the most part, are still in positions of power.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the fact is that we were all shaped by this, and we continue to control most of the levers of power. And so we're controlling them in a way that is impacted by all that thought process. So, you know, our willingness to try and divide the world up into good guys and bad guys, and to have a Cold War kind of an environment in which we have bad guys that we talk about in this country as being bad guys, in which we worry about the war that we're going to have with them. It's different than the circumstance that exists in most other countries.
So I'm really interested in Mike from Kenosha, who's always got something great to say, a much younger guy than you and I. Good morning to you, Mike. Thank you very much for the call. Your thoughts?
Hey, good morning. Thank you. Happy Friday to everybody.
Yes, sir.
You know, I was listening to your conversation about electric vehicles earlier, and I've been in and out of my car. I just got home this morning from running errands. But I just want to let you know and the audience know, I'm a battery specialist. I retired as a battery specialist. And when I'm listening to people, you know, discuss electric vehicles, and I hear the, I don't know, for lack of a better description, ignorance. It's astounding. With electric vehicles, there's only a couple handful of parts that need servicing. There's it's about one third or sometimes less the cost to charge than it is for internal combustion. And finally, you know, electric vehicles in 1895, 95% of all the trains were electric trains. This is not electric vehicles is not a new technology. Some of the new chemistries are for sure. And we are progressing due to, you know, a lot of different reasons. But electric vehicles rock. There's no cartels you have to deal with. There's no, you know, uprooting of people in the Middle East. There's, you know, no conflict. It's something that we can create in our own backyard, for crying out loud. What is the big negative? What are they so fearful of when it comes to electric technology, Earl?
Well, what they're fearful of is when I listen to and watch conservative responses to the electric vehicles, it's about the amount of money that the oil companies make and that it's going to impact and affect, you know, the bottom line, gasoline and all those kind of
things.
Well,
but I think it has to do with change. I think it has to do with the resistance to change and the fact that it seems to be something that's pushed by the elite. You know, it's the people who are pushing it are causing this counter reaction to it, and by pushing it, I mean enthusiastic about it. And it's surprising to me that the anti-electric movement has sort of started, because it's just a marketplace out there. People can pick and choose whether they do this or not. The marketplace has predicted that they will want to do it. The only expensive part of an electric automobile right now is the battery. If an electric automobile didn't have batteries, it would be a fraction of the cost of a gasoline car, because as this caller just said, there's only about three. An electric motor has like two moving parts in it, and they don't require oil changes or kind of maintenance that a gasoline car requires.
So, Sandy and Mike, let's look at it from the perspective of all of the parts manufactured, all of the jobs that it takes to create a combustible engine.
Yeah.
All of the money that is tied up into those things. How much of it is that, Sandy?
Well, it might be that. The fear of change always maybe comes back to people, but I don't think the caller from Muscadet was worried about that.
No, I know he's not.
I think there is this general view that somehow that the automobile is being pushed because the electric automobile is being pushed because of climate change, and those who are climate change doubters want to say, well, then that makes an electric vehicle stupid and crazy, and why should we have them? But the fact of the matter is that electric vehicles have a lot of advantages, regardless of the fact that they don't create exhaust. And they are wonderful cars to drive. You know, they are amazingly fast.
And it's inevitable that they're going to be here, and they're going to be here to stay. Whether we kick and scream and don't want to see it happen, it's inevitable. Is it safe to say that?
Well, I think so. I mean, you know, it's impossible to predict the market exactly, and the market is probably going to initially at least prefer hybrids to fully electric cars, and I think that there's a growing view that hybrid vehicles might have advantages in this interim period as we shift over towards electric. But that's what the caller said too. You know, he recognized that hybrid cars could have an advantage.
All right, 844-967-2789. President Joe Biden has had a phone call with Benjamin Netanyahu. We're going to discuss that on the other side. 844-967-2789. You're tuned into 540 AM WAUK and Civic Media.
Broadcasting from the Eagle's Nest.
With everything lacrosse is talking about.
You're soaring with Eagle 1490.
Friday on Nightlight, I welcome Kirk Bangstad, Ed Anderson, Amir Kakarov, and Terry Barr. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Former state senator and majority leader in the state Senate, Dale Schultz.
Legislators aren't doing their job. But what I would ask all the listeners is, have you taken stock in your legislator? Do they really deserve to be there? Do they really want to be there? In a polite way, ask them to come and share a vision, listen to you, and say we want regular communication. And I think if we do that, the system will serve us very well.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app. Soaring high above lacrosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX Lacrosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The Labor Department this morning reporting 303,000 jobs were created in March. That's